Elijah Part 2, Mount Carmel, Naboth, Chariot of Fire. We start this lesson when King Ahab has called all the people of Israel to Mount Carmel on God's instruction through Elijah. And we begin in 1 Kings 18, verse 21. Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you wait, choosing between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." People remained silent. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God." Then the people answered, "That's well spoken." Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, because you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it." So they took the bull that was given them, prepared it, and called on Baal from morning until noon. "O Baal, hear us!" But there was no voice, no one answered. Then they danced about the altar which they had made, and at noon Elijah mocked them. "Cry aloud, because he is a god, and either he is meditating, or he is busy or on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened." So they cried aloud and cut themselves with knives and lances, as was their custom, until blood gushed out of them. And in the afternoon they prophesied until the time of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come close to me." And all the people came close by. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the Lord had said, "Israel shall be your name." Then, with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord and made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood and said, "Fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the sacrifice and on the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time." And they did so. And he said, "Do it again." And they did it a third time. By then the water ran all around the altar, and Elijah also filled the trench with water. And at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, so that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and cried out, "The Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God!" And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal, and do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Now comes a very remarkable part of the story. Elijah knows that it will now start to rain, because the Lord God told him so. Yet, he goes to pray. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of an abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, where he bowed down on the ground, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And when the servant came back, he said, "There is nothing." And seven times Elijah said, "Go again." Then, finally, after the seventh time, he said, "There is a cloud, as small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea." And Elijah said, "Go, tell Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." In the meantime, the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. Ahab rode away to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loin cloth and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, "So let the gods do to me, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when Elijah heard that, he got up and ran for his life to Beersheba in Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked God that he might die. "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, because I am no better than my fathers." Questions to discuss. Is it not amazing how much God loves his children, that he even gave wayward Israel a new chance to come back to him when King Ahab had allowed his wife Jezebel to entice them into Baal worship? A demon god and Astarte, a sex worship goddess. Just today, 28th of August 2012, I read in the news how women in Togo are telling their husbands to give them rights and that they will now withhold sex from them for a whole week until they will listen. Is that not exactly what Jezebel did to Ahab? Do you notice what a proud and arrogant woman this Queen Jezebel is, and that she indeed runs the life of her husband? Should men allow their wives to run their lives while God continues to hold them, the man, responsible for the consequences? Do you notice that God had no mercy on the false prophets, the priests of Baal? Think of James chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, that says, "My brothers, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, because we all stumble in many things. Will God have more mercy on pastors who preach the prosperity gospel to fill their own pockets, without taking care of widows and orphans? Will he have more mercy on them than on those Baal priests? Elijah prayed for fire, and afterwards also for rain, after God had answered with fire. Does our God not always want us to ask him, even when he has already promised what he will do? Does our prayer, our spoken word, not create what God wants to do? We now continue reading in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5. Then, as Elijah lay down and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." And there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So Elijah ate and drank and lay down again. But the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him, saying, "Get up and eat, because the journey is too long for you." And Elijah rose up, ate and drank, and went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights as far as Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. That is the mountain in Midian where God gave Israel his laws. There Elijah went into a cave and spent the night. And the Lord came to him and said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And see, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake hit the mountain. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire either. But after the fire there came a quiet, small voice." And when Elijah heard that, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice spoke to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Questions to discuss. Do you notice how even one of the greatest prophets Israel has ever known could lose heart and faith? God asked, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So, had Elijah then come here without being led by the Lord? Had he been fleeing instead of standing firmly with the Lord? We read further. Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive there, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. You shall also anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all people whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So Elijah left there and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, while he was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12th yoke. Then Elijah walked up to him and threw his mantle on him. And Elisha left the oxen and ran after Elijah, saying, "Please, let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will go and follow you." And Elijah said to him, "Go back again to your ploughing, for what do I have to do with you?" But now Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he got up and followed Elijah and became his servant. As Elisha answered Elijah, I am reminded of the same kind of question someone asked of Jesus, if he could first go and bury his father. And in all such cases, Jesus' response was similar to what Elijah now also told Elisha. God's business is so urgent that family ties cannot control our calling to serve God. We should not be rude, of course, and not even say goodbye. But Elisha had to follow now. I quote Jesus here from Matthew 10, verse 35 through 39. "For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who thinks that he finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." And then we find in Matthew 19, verse 29 and 30, yet another similar encouragement to serve Jesus unconditionally. "He is God. He must at all times be the first one to serve. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." I need to also write some lessons about Elisha, because God knew who he wanted Elijah to anoint. Elisha has such a strong commitment to serving God, as we see here already, because when Elijah urges him to follow now, he immediately sacrifices some of the oxen he needed for plowing, even using some of the wooden plowing implements for the fire. He cuts off his ability to go back to plowing. As we read further in 1 Kings 20, the king of Syria from Damascus threatens King Ahab of Israel and demands that he hand over to him all he has, including his wives and children. And Ahab is even willing to do it. But his advisors offer to fight Ben-Hadad instead. This story shows what kind of a wimp King Ahab is. This kind of a man is controlled by a woman and cannot stand his own ground and responsibly manage God's world for him. God yet is prepared to help him for the sake of protecting his people, Israel. But Ahab fails to utterly destroy Ben-Hadad, instead still treats him as a friend. Then a prophet of the Lord comes to Ahab and says to him the following, "Thus says the Lord, because you have let slip out of your hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore your life shall go for his life, and your people for his people." And the king of Israel went to his house, sullen and displeased. Questions for discussion. Can you see how dangerous it is to not stand up as a man for our God and become just a wimp like King Ahab? Do you understand Jesus' promise? He who thinks to find his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it? King Ahab's life just continues without repentance and change, and Jezebel just continues to dominate him. We read 1 Kings 21, starting from verse 1 now. Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard in Jezreel, next to the palace of King Ahab. And Ahab asked Naboth, "Give me your vineyard so that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is next to my house, and I will give you a vineyard better than this one, or I will give you its value in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord God forbids that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you." Ahab went into his house sullen and displeased, lay down on his bed, turned away his face, and would not eat. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said, "Why is your spirit so sullen that you eat no food?" And he told her. Then Jezebel said, "Do you now exercise authority over Israel? Get up, eat and be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite." Then she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city of Naboth. She wrote in the letters, "Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth with high honor among the people, and seat two scoundrels before him to testify. And let them say, 'You have blasphemed God and the king.' Then take him out and stone him so that he may die." And the men of his city, the elders and nobles, did as was written in the letters Jezebel had sent them. They proclaimed a fast, seated Naboth with high honor among the people, and two liars came in and sat before him and witnessed against Naboth in the presence of the people. "Naboth has blasphemed God and the king." Then they took him outside the city and stoned him with stones so that he died. Then they sent a message to Jezebel, "Naboth has been stoned and is dead." And when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned to death, she told Ahab, "Get up, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, because he is now dead." When Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, he got up and took possession of the vineyard. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Get up and go down to meet King Ahab. He is in the vineyard of Naboth to take possession of it. And you shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession?' And you shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood.'" And Ahab said to Elijah, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" And Elijah answered, I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Look, I will bring calamity on you. I will take away all your children, and will cut off from Ahab every male in Israel, both bond and free. I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, because you have provoked me to anger and made Israel sin. And the Lord also spoke about Jezebel. The dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Dogs shall eat whoever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. There was no one like Ahab, who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel his wife stirred him up. And he behaved very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. When Ahab heard those words, he tore his clothes, and put sackcloth on his body, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went about mourning. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "See how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has done so, I will not bring the calamity in his days. In the days of his son, I will bring the calamity on his house." Questions to discuss. Is it not surprising to you that God yet has some mercy on Ahab after he now finally humbles himself before God? Is our Father God not a merciful God to the extreme, even though he is also a righteous judge over all his creation? We continue reading. The Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, and Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, because the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went together to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take your master away from you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Be still." Then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, because the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets at Jericho came to Elisha and told him, "Do you know that the Lord will take your master away from you today?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be still." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, because the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan River." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." And the two of them went on. And by the Jordan, Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And Elijah said, "You have asked a hard thing. But if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you, but if not, it shall not be so." And then it happened as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen. And he saw him no more. He then took his own clothes and tore them into two pieces and picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah and struck the water, saying, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided and Elisha crossed over. Now, when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Then they said to him, look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please, let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. You shall not send anyone. But when they urged him, he said, send them. And they sent 50 men who searched for 3 days, but did not find him. Questions to discuss. Do you know of other people who walked very close with God and who have not seen physical death like Elijah? What do you think of Elijah's persistence to stay with Elijah, even though he is asked to let him now leave by himself? Is it a good thing to seek all the anointing and spirit of Elijah you can get? End of this lesson.